Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 2:39 p.m. that is Central Time. Today is October 25th, and gold was up $14.20 in here today. And that's pretty much recouped most of the decline that it put in off the high on Friday. So pushing up through the 200-day moving average, the psychological $1,800 level, and coming back to at least test the peaks from back in September. But I think perhaps more importantly, we're coming up to test the sequence of lower rally highs. And this is, I think, the most important point, that we've had a triangular pattern forming in gold. And these triangular patterns represent a narrowing of the trading band. So what it really means is that the trading band becomes narrower because people become impatient and they want to see their preferred outcome occur quicker. So they're not willing to wait for a significant rally before they initiate shorts, and they're not willing to wait for a big decline before initiating longs. And there's been a lot of talk about the potential that gold would collapse, that there would be another big decline before we get any kind of recovery, that prices might even go down as far as $1,500. I've seen that as a target that's been produced by some people. Then there's been others that have been saying, well, we need to see lots more evidence before we can conclude that the lows are in. But the reality is we've had a sequence of higher reaction lows for the last 10 months, and that the big, well, I guess perhaps that's an exaggeration, but the low came in March, and we're now at the end of October, so let's call it 7 months, and at the sequence of lower rally highs is now being tested. So it's a big moment, and if we can see this sequence broken, well, then that would certainly open up the way for a retest of the peak and then potentially a breakout and a move on to another accelerated advance. The one thing that everyone was conditioned by during the big bull market in gold that started in about 2002 and ran all the way through until 2011 was that gold was capable of going sideways and doing nothing for a very prolonged period of time, where it became extraordinarily frustrating and where one really had to have a very strong stomach to buy the dips, because the dips do occur, and when they occur, they can be extremely violent on the downside and extremely scary for anyone with a leveraged position. And yet, if one is conditioned by that and does buy the dip, then one is richly rewarded, because usually after that lengthy period of messy ranging and consolidation, gold has had explosive breakouts. And the most recent example of that was in 2019, where the price had been going sideways for 6 years, and then it bounced from the region of the trend mean in the middle of the year, then broke out. So it went from about $1,250 and change to go up and test the $1,500 area. So that was a nice big move, a good 20% advance in the space of about 3 or 4 months, a little consolidation, another big pop on the upside, another and then a violent pullback during the teeth of the pandemic, and then subsequently a big acceleration. And usually when gold accelerates, it's the beginning of the next medium term consolidation. When I sold my futures back in August of 2020, I had a lot of emails saying that it was, what was I doing that for? Didn't I know that prices were going to continue higher from here, that it was only just getting started, that we're in the beginning of this bull market, and that prices were about to multiply? And of course, nobody's saying that today. Nobody's saying that gold could multiply. Everyone's worried that the price might fall to $1,500. They're worried about the volatility increasing. But the really big volatile periods of time were in late 2020 and early 2021. And over the course of the last 3 or 4 months, the volatility has in fact decreased. So these triangular patterns, they create a lot of fear, but the reality is that we're still in a consolidation. It's held onto the vast majority of the advance, and there would have to be a really strong turn towards hard money in order to sap investment demand for gold. So I think we are at a rather interesting point here because the 5-year yield has been pushing higher over the course of the last month, and now it's starting to ease. So the Federal Reserve is in a bit of a pickle, and it's in more of a pickle than other countries because the USA has got shorter duration bonds than most other countries. So if the average duration of their debt is around 5 years, they're a lot more interest rate sensitive than, for example, the UK, where the duration of the debt is closer to 14 years. So that's obviously something that's going to come to bear as the 5-year yield trends higher. Now, we've definitely seen a pause, and they're talking a good game about tapering. So, and then it's quite likely that they will follow through and begin to taper the assistance they've been providing. But how realistic is it that the Federal Reserve will be able to raise rates? So, certainly the bond yield has broken out. This looks like an uptrend, and it would really require a sustained move back below 1% to question the consistency of the advance. But it's certainly oversold, or in this case, the yield is a little overextended in the short term. So it really wouldn't be at all surprising that we get at least some consolidation. I think the thing that's worrying the Federal Reserve more than anything else right now is the fact that we're getting a lot of enthusiasm being expressed about technology shares and the growth sector generally. And the Nasdaq continues to rebound from its most recent pullback, and it remains in a consistent trend overall with a sequence of ranges of reasonably similar sized ranges, one above another. Tesla broke on the upside in here today. So that was both in response to the fact that it's the first time the company has been the lead seller of vehicles in Europe, and that Hertz is going to buy 100,000 vehicles and pay sticker or close to sticker price for them. And that's a really benign outcome for Tesla. They get to sell almost 10% of their production in one go, so that's obviously a bonus. But then, because they're being used as rental vehicles, it's a really great a try before you buy type of situation. And then it also offers a rather benign outcome for Hertz, because obviously they have to pay for those vehicles. But lots of people would like to try Tesla for a few days, and they're not going to have a chance to do that in normal circumstances. So now they're going to get that chance, and most particularly if it comes through in a price point that's relatively similar to, for example, an SUV. So Hertz is now right at the upper side of this range that's been forming for the last month. And this looks like a first step above the base. These types of big purchases that are predicated on access to liquidity and very low interest rates, well, and the very frothy environment that we are now seeing in the cryptocurrency world, Bitcoin prices remain quite well bid and are holding the region of the 60,000 level. And that remains really quite an orderly consolidation in the region of the all-time peak, and as long as that remains the case, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But this week, a weekend, I also saw a headline to the effect that the Shiba Inu coin is now the 11th largest in the world. So it's another one of these joke coins that's not really designed to do anything that would appear to be attracting a great deal of interest. So then, if the USA is in what is potentially a debt trap, or at least until we have evidence to the contrary, I think we can conclude that it is a debt trap, that they might begin to taper their assistance, but raising interest rates is going to be a difficult prospect. Well, that's beneficial for gold. It's beneficial for gold shares as well. And gold shares were up 57 cents in here today, continuing to bounce from the $30 area. And it looks like a failed downside break below that $30 area. So this looks like a first step above the base. It's, I think, particularly relevant to highlight that it's the gold shares at the larger gold shares have got that first step above the base characteristic. The junior gold shares have also rebounded and have also broken at least the succession of lower rally highs evident over the last 4 or 5 months. But it looks like a first step above the base, but the base is less well defined overall. And then if we look at the explorers, which would be further out on the risk profile, well, they haven't completed their base formation yet, and they'd need to sustain a move above 40. But again, this is another one of these gold mining ETFs that have broken the short-term sequence of lower rally highs. So that's a benign outcome overall. Now, when we start to then think about inflationary pressures, well, oil prices remain quite well bid and are also right in the region of their recovery peaks and holding this move above the $80 area. Natural gas prices today popped on the upside, so there is certainly the potential that we're going to have supply deficits, particularly if we have a colder winter. And the UK natural gas price also responded to this strength in, I guess it would be a loss of confidence that there'll be ample supply in the USA. So the UK price was up 4, but that wasn't quite holding all the gain that we saw earlier on in the session. There's still clear efforts underway to try and bring down prices in Europe, and they may be effective in the very short term, but they're not likely to be effective in any real sense to bring down the price to where it was before the big pop on the upside that we had in 2021. This long-term base formation lasted for years, and if anything, we've seen over the course of the last decade has been that once these long bases are completed, it's very rare for prices to come all the way back down again. And in fact, the only one that did it was US national or natural gas, and that was because of the massive oversupply. But we're now in a situation where the USA is a major exporter, and this is obviously something that happens in all commodity markets, that when you have a very low price for a vital commodity, it creates new sources of demand. And it became viable because of those low prices to close down coal-fired power stations. Now, with droughts in places like Brazil and increasingly onerous environmental regulations in places like California, then the demand for natural gas has surged. And we are now in a supply deficit scenario. So let's then look at the long-term price of natural gas. And it's been holding here around the $6 area for the last while. But the last time we got up to this level, it failed in a really dynamic manner. And on this occasion, it's starting to push back up again. And $6 has represented the spike peaks over the course of more than a decade. So, if US natural gas sustains the move above $6 and is doing so outside of hurricane season, well, then that is indicative of a significant supply deficit. And it suggests that there's going to be a lot of activity in the drilling sector, and particularly in the shales. So companies like Devon Energy are starting to recover. Now, it's overbought in the short term, and a significant number of the US oil companies are overbought in the short term, and ConocoPhillips being a very good example of that. And this is, of course, assuming that natural gas prices don't continue to move higher from here. But if they do, if natural gas breaks on the upside, well, then it's going to take a lot of these energy companies with it. And we can think about the broad energy sector overall. It's unloved, and it's broken out of this range that's been forming for the last 6 months, and it's yielding 3.84%. So, just from the perspective of a longer-term investor, 3.84% when the Federal Reserve is going to be inhibited from raising interest rates is fairly attractive. And of course, gold miners are also raising dividends. And this was a big day today for nickel as well. So, Eramet's production in New Caledonia came in way below expectations. So it's at least beginning to suggest that nickel has the scope to begin to play catch up with some of those other industrial resources. And the LME Metals Index remains really very close to its all-time peaks. And this was yesterday, or excuse me, on this update was from Friday, where we'd had the big pop on the upside and then a decline, but it's certainly now starting to also firm again in here today, and we're right in the region of these all-time peaks. So it's looking increasingly likely that we are going to see a substantial breakout in the industrial resources sector. So these inflationary pressures that are rising, it's a pretty much a universal condition. And the fact that Brazil is anticipated to raise interest rates by 150 basis points to over 8%, and that is still going to be negative real interest rate territory, and that we are going to be in an environment where there's a country out there that benefits from commodity exports and commodity prices are rising. And they're paying, and potentially next year, paying interest rates in the region of 10% with positive balance of payments, and still that's a negative real interest rate environment. That's a rather odd situation. It suggests at least that Brazil will be forced, regardless of what the government wants to do, and of course, if the government does push on and continue to try and spend their way out of trouble with inflation at 10%, and potentially persistent at 10%, then that would be turning Brazil into somewhere like Turkey. Well, the real did bounce today, so then investors are willing to give the benefit of the doubt to Brazil, and so far the real is holding this six level, so. There is certainly appetite for yield out there, and particularly true when we have very low interest rates right across the developed world. So, with the Brazilian real beginning to firm, well, the stock market also steadied in here. If we continue to see the real firming, well, then that's going to act as a tailwind to foreign direct investment in the country. Because the one thing that foreign investors like more than anything else is to have the interest rate and the trend on their side. So if the currency starts to appreciate, and with that attractive interest rate, they'll start to deploy money into Brazil. But that is, of course, all conditional on the real continuing to hold that six level. If it were to break downwards, then we would have a substantial re-rating of the risk in Brazil overall. Then we can think about what's going on in China, because The PBOC injected about $30 billion worth of short-term liquidity into the market today. They don't want to cut interest rates. They don't want to continue to fuel the property market. So what they are doing is injecting liquidity to provide funds to the local governments. Because without additional funds, those local governments would quickly go bankrupt because they're being prohibited or certainly inhibited from land sales. And land sales have been the number one way that those local governments have been funding themselves. So China is providing liquidity, but unlikely to cut interest rates. So liquidity is both global and mobile. So if it's been created in China, it will eventually find its way out into the rest of the world. And the Hang Seng continues to steady, and it's testing its sequence of lower rally highs, and it has type 2 bottoming characteristics because we have the loss of momentum and we have the failed downside breaks. And now it's testing that sequence of lower rally highs. One would have to conclude that at least some stops are in the region of the 26,600 level. And if those are broken, well, then there's the scope for a substantial re-rating and potentially a rebound back up towards the upper side of this range that's been forming for most of the last decade. And the H shares index graphically illustrates that in over the longer term. It's also rebounding. It also has type 2 bottoming characteristics, and it's been in what must feel like a profoundly long range. Then the Indian market remains quite overbought in the short term, and the Nifty index has been unwinding some of that overbought condition, but it hasn't been falling very much, even though it's been down 5 days in a row. It hasn't been falling very much because India remains a growth dynamo for the region, and it's likely to be a world-beating growth engine over the course of the next decade. And the measures that are being put in place to develop infrastructure, well, most particularly, that's going to benefit the millions and hundreds of millions of young people. The one country that I think is particularly worth paying attention to, not necessarily from an investment perspective right now, is Nigeria. So the Nigerian index is very much dependent on what happens with oil. So the index has pushed on the upside. But when we look at what's going on, where a substantial, I guess, criminal element has been able to profit from kidnappings to such an extent that they've been able to arm themselves better than the government. Well, this is creating a country within a country, and then, of course, there are alternative factions that are also creating countries within a country, and lawlessness is prospering. And obviously, that has an effect on sentiment, but Nigeria has one of the youngest demographics in the world, and in order to capture the potential of that demographic dividend, well, then they need improving standards of governance. And at the moment, what we're seeing is governance is deteriorating, and the uncertainty associated with investment in the country is deteriorating. So that perhaps is a cautionary tale for other countries that if they're going to benefit from their demographics, then they need to also have improving standards of governance. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.